Welcome to, a podcast for people who ponder the puzzles of life. I'm Robert Krulwich.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from T. Rowe Price, managing investments for the long term with a consistent, disciplined approach. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com.
So if a lobster never meets the fate of the lemon wedge and parsley, it could live a long life. A really long life. Lobsters are basically eating, molting, growing machines, as NPR's Robert Krulwich found out.
In his laboratory at Boston University, Professor Yella Atima has his own lobster.
It's a sizable lobster.
Which means it's old, because with lobsters, the bigger you are, the older you are. That's how you age a lobster, by size.
That's right, yeah.
And yet, as big as it is...
15-pound lobster.
That's big, but nobody knows how big a lobster could get. The biggest one ever seen, 40-plus pounds. But there could be much, much bigger lobsters somewhere deep in the ocean. Because it appears, says Professor Atima, that older lobsters wear out very slowly, like his lobster.
There's absolutely no indication that this lobster is showing signs of old age.
In fact, lobsters in general show no discernible signs of aging. They don't lose appetite, sex drive, energy, no change in metabolism.
Something we could all be jealous of.
Right. So if these creatures do get older and they don't get sicker or weaker, at least not in any way we can measure, maybe there's a 100-pound, 200-pound lobster down there. Of course, we don't know what it's like to be an old lobster, because lobsters can't talk about aging. But I did meet a lobster who sings about aging.
My fellow crustaceans, I will now sing a song not about growing old, but about growing big.
Do we even have vocal cords?
Well, if he has vocal cords, this lobster, who, by the way, calls himself Leroy the Uninterrupted Lobster, because he just keeps going and going and going, he tells his fellow lobsters that the key to longevity, at least for a lobster, is to get lucky.
Now listen, I've never had a parasite or suffered from diseases. I've outlived my brothers, nephews, and my nieces' nieces. While they were caught and born alive and chopped up into bits, time and again I have escaped the death we call the bisque.
The bisque. The bisque. Don't want to be a bisque. I don't think so, not if you're a lobster.
I've dodged the fatal blows of pounding waves and craggy coastline. A tsunami has not got me in all of my long lifetime. Oceanic accidents occur, but not to me. I'm just a growing lobster, growing all naturally.
Naturally, I'm on Leroy's fillet. How did you avoid the skillet? We need to know so we can grow like Leroy, the Uninterrupted Long-Lived Lobster.
Yeah. It's Leroy!
That's nice. I like that.
Well, could Leroy then live theoretically if he doesn't starve or get parasites, if he stays lucky, is it theoretically possible there are lobsters somewhere that could be really, really huge?
Theoretically, yes, I would say. If there is no further insults to the system that shut down the basic metabolism, uh-huh. Then yes, I would imagine they could continue to live.
And just get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Tell us how you did it. If it is a drug, let's get it. We want to know so we can be like you or the Uninterrupted Long-Lived Lobster. Yeah.
So then, as far as scientists know, in the oldest lobsters that you guys have seen, when you look at their, I don't know whether lobsters have hearts or whether they have circulation.
They sure do.
Oh, they do. So do you feel them getting kind of old and cranky when they're older, or can you not
there's
tell?
There's no evidence for that.
And you say that the older female lobsters, they have more babies than the younger lobster ladies.
Very much so. Very much so.
And your old lobster in your lab, he still fights you and bites you like a young guy.
A mean old son of a bitch. In my tank, who is perfectly happy being just that.
So if this mean old whatever he is, if he stays lucky, scientists have no idea how big lobsters could get, right? I mean, you don't.
That's right, yeah. So if they live a very good life with wonderful, plentiful food, as described in the song,
then he can eat, what the phrase is?
Eat, molt, expand, repeat.
Eat.
Yes.
Molt, expand, repeat.
Yes.
Excellent, that's right, exactly.
All they have to do is keep eating and molting so they can build a bigger shell, and then eating again and then molting again. And if you ask them, like, what's your secret, big lobster? Actually, let's hear it from Leroy.
Well, it's simple, really.
Leroy.
I'm trying to explain.
Lobster.
Here's what you do. Find a cave with lots of krill and eat. And when you're safe and ready, you expand mode and repeat. Then two more things to keep in mind, and then you'll never age.
One.
Geographic isolation.
Two.
Always avoid the cage.
Avoid the cage.
Yes, you've got the first part. Now the second part.
Avoid the cage.
Avoid the cage.
Yes.
Isn't there food in the cages?
Yes.
How do we eat if we can't get to the food in the cages?
The fishermen that own the cages eat you for food with butter.
I don't get it.
Some lobsters are a little on the slow side. But I would say, as any insurance company would tell you, that the reason lobsters do not go on forever is if you wait long enough, something bad will happen to you. Bad things do happen.
They do happen in real world.
You mean they do have pollution, they do have acid rain.
Exactly. There are certain things that happen regardless. So there are seals around who could tackle a pretty large lobster.
But if the lobster in your lab or some really lucky lobster down in an ocean paradise, if they can keep eating and molting and expanding and repeating, then, you know, who knows, right?
Then that's it. Then we get the lobster that we're all dreaming of. Or maybe in our nightmares, though.
With Josh Kurz as the lobster, Shane Winter as our composer, I'm Robert Kulwich in New York.
Come on, Leroy Spillett, how did you avoid the skillet? We need to know so we can grow like Leroy the Uninterrupted. Long live lobster, yeah!
It's Leroy!
The Uninterrupted Lobster.
Well, it's simple, really.
Leroy.
I'm trying to explain.
Lobster.
Here's what you do. Find a cave with lots of krill and eat. And when you're safe and ready, you expand mode and repeat. Then two more things to keep in mind, and then you'll never age.
One.
Geographic isolation.
Two.
Always avoid the cage.
Avoid the cage.
Now, everyone, repeat after me. Eat. Mode, expand, repeat.
Eat.
Yes.
Mode, expand, repeat.
Yes, you've got the first part. Now the second part.
Avoid the cage.
Avoid the cage.
Yes.
Isn't there food in the cages?
Yes.
How do we eat if we can't get to the food in the cages?
The fishermen that own the cages eat you for food with butter.
I don't get it. Molting's fun.
Look, let me finish, will you?
Oh, man. Kulwich. At his finest. Now you know everything you need to know about lobsters, more than you ever knew you would not want to know about lobsters.
In a song, no less.
Yeah.
Coming up on the BPP, we're going to talk about war movies. There used to be a tradition of Apocalypse Now and these movies that did great business and were anti-war. A lot of other movies have been coming out this year, also anti-war, not doing as well. We'll try to get to the bottom of that.
And Beowulf in 3D on the big screen, if you can imagine. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.
Thanks for listening. I'm Robert Kulwich. Let's do this again, because, you know, I'm always here. And if you love science stories, we happen to have lots of them. Visit us at npr.org/science.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.